Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, the 10th chapter, and we'll read verses 9 through 16. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1162, Acts, the 10th chapter, verses 9 through 16. We'll read the verses responsively. And as is our custom always, shall we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry, and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill, and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. And the text words are taken from the 14th verse, where it says, Not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. And let's pray. Father, we thank thee for this service for this Sunday evening. And Father, already our hearts have been warmed and blessed by the singing, by the message of song, by the choir and in the congregational numbers, and by the Spirit that is here. Bless now in the preaching. Bless it to our hearts, to our learning, to our strength, to our help. And meet with us surely in a wonderful way. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to read just a verse or two for you. You need not turn to it. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, how do you put on the new man? Here's how you put on the new man. Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Be ye angry and sin not, which means don't when you get angry, don't do anything rash. Let not the sun go down in your wrath, never go to bed angry at anybody. If he give place to the devil, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, work hard, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corruption proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it minister grace to the hearers. How do you put on the new man? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of truth, whereby ye are sealed on the day of redemption. How do you put on the new man? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. How do you put on the new man? And be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I want you to listen to me tonight as I continue along the theme of the message this morning. I wish that all of you that were not here this morning would get a copy of the message, because it's sort of a preface for the sermon tonight. And I think everybody ought to hear, every Christian ought to hear the message. Not a great message, but a great truth that I preached this morning. If you can get the tape, you ought to do it and hear the message this morning. But I want you to listen tonight. Letters and notes and phone calls that tell me of some of our people going into sin are just as much a part of my weekly schedule as going to sleep at night or waking up in the morning or eating when I'm hungry. I never live 7 days, never, without receiving at least one note or call or letter that somebody who hears me preach Sunday after Sunday has gone into sin. There were three such letters, notes, under my door after the sermon this morning. Three. And I never read one without saying, where have I failed? Where did I not do my best? I'm not talking about a few bus kids, though they're important to us. I'm talking about the inner circle of the church. I got one note today about, I'd say a person would be in the inner circle of the inner 125-50 people in our church. It's like that every week. He says, must be a pretty worldly church. No, it's a pretty big church. As I said this morning, the more people you have, the more good you have, the more bad you have, the more that make you happy, the more that make you sad, the more that make you rejoice, the more that break your heart. But I want you to listen tonight as I try again to help you. I'm going to tell you tonight why you end up in sin. Man said last night in the office, he said, don't know how it happened. I'm going to tell you how it happened. I'm going to tell you what happened and how it happened. Please listen on purpose. Heavenly Father, I believe my people need this message. And I pray that tragedy shall be averted in the lives of many. Please help me. I pray you'd help my people to listen to me. And I pray you'd help me to listen to you. And dear Lord, please speak to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you were at church, or maybe in your living room at home. But somebody took the book and showed you that you were a sinner. They showed you from the Bible the wages of sin. And you found, as they talked to you and took you down the old Roman road, you found that Jesus had paid the penalty for your sin. But as you learned of this, or were reminded afresh and anew of this marvelous story, something happened that had not happened before. And that is, there was a burning in your breast. You'd heard the story before, but you didn't feel the same way. You'd had somebody give you a gospel tract on the street, maybe, and you had read it. And in your head, you knew that you were a sinner. And you knew that sinners were lost and on their way to a Christless eternity. And you knew that Jesus Christ, God Himself in flesh, took upon Himself your sins and paid your penalty on Calvary. It was not a new story. You'd heard radio preachers talk about it. You'd tuned into someone on the television and they'd told about it. But something different this time. There was a burning in your breast. You recall, don't you? You couldn't quite understand it. You couldn't quite explain it. But somebody was talking to you on the inside, just as somebody was talking to you on the outside. And before you knew it, you came to church that morning or that night, but you never intended to walk an aisle. By the way, some of you are feeling that burning right now, right this minute. You know what I'm talking about. For the first time in your life, some of you this very minute, you know why? Because that dear, blessed Holy Spirit that settled on me years ago, everywhere I go, I talk outside, He talks inside. He's talking to you right now. There's a burning in your breast. You didn't intend to walk an aisle. In fact, if you'd known they're going to give an invitation and ask sinners to come forward, you probably wouldn't even have come to the service. But you know what? You found yourself in the aisle. Before you knew it, you found yourself down at the altar and somebody beside you. And they told you the most wonderful story you ever heard in your life. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it, and shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. I've said this so often. If all we ever did, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, was take the Roman road plan of salvation, tell everybody how to be saved again, and you've been saved already, you've been saved for years, and just come to church, and I told you how to be saved, and be worth your while to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But that morning, somebody asked you to pray. And you prayed something like this. Dear Lord, forgive my sins. I know I'm a sinner. Be merciful to me. And I do now receive Jesus as my Savior. Remember how you felt when you got off your feet? Huh? Remember how bright the sun was the next morning? Remember how happy the birds did sing? Remember how you walk with an extra lilt in your step? And you could sing, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea, yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God, my sins are gone. You're a new creature. And you believe for the first time in your life that you were on your way to heaven. And by the way, remember that new Bible you bought? Huh? You didn't know what kind to get, whether to get a Scofield reference or a Revised Standard Version. You didn't know which one to get. But you had a Bible. Remember how you opened it and read it that first time and it said Rehoboam begat Jeroboam and Jeroboam begat Jehoshaphat? You thought, how'll I ever learn this book? Remember how you used to feel? You came back to church next Sunday. Even got your hair cut a little bit. Not a great deal, but a little bit. You don't want to go be a fanatic about this thing, but remember how you felt? Huh? Remember? Remember how you thought, found out different sense, but remember how you thought that fellow priest up there must be perfect? And remember how you thought everybody in this church must be perfect because everybody was so happy? Remember how bright the lights were and how happy the singing was? Huh? Remember? When the group sang, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Remember how happy you were? And you said, Praise God. And you didn't say it out loud, but you said it inside. You said, I'm glad all my sins are gone. I'll never sin again. I'll never touch a bottle of beer as long as I live. I'll never say a curse word. I'll never have an evil thought when I look at a woman. I'll never do it. I'll tell you, bless God, all that's gone. Remember, one day you're working on the job and you hit the wrong nail. Hit this nail instead of that nail. And before you know it, you said, Oh, dirty bricker, back a pack of loamer. Remember that? Dirty botcher, botcher, splatter rip. Remember that? And then you said, Oh my. I thought that was gone. Was that me? I never intended to say a bad word again in my life. That's what I used to say. Or maybe you stopped by with the boys at the local tavern. You didn't intend to drink one. Before you knew it, you drunk one. And you said, I didn't think I'd ever do it again. And you ask yourself, what's happened to me? I guess I wasn't really saved. Yes, you were. Yes, you were. Well, am I lost now? No, you're not lost now. You're acting like it, but you're not. You're not. You say, Brother Hound, what's going to happen to me if I stay that way? Same thing that happened to you. Is your little girl here? Is she ever bad? No. Is she really? Are you bad sometimes? No, you're not bad, are you? But let me ask you a question. She says, Mommy, I want to go out and play. And you say, okay, be a good girl. Don't play in the street. So she gets out and play. And she don't mean to play in the street. But you look out and there she is, right in the middle of the street. The ball went out in the street and she goes out in the middle of the street. And you look at her and you say, what's her first name? What? Ray-in? And you say, Ray-in! Get out of that street! But you wouldn't say that. You would say, darling, beloved, the dear Lord has spoken to me to tell you to retreat from the avenue. Because I know a lady sat there like that would never, never, never raise your voice. And so she comes running in. She comes running in. Ray-in comes running in. And you say, now, Ray-in, Mother told you. You didn't say, okay, you're not my child. Call the lawyer. Disown you. Make out papers. I didn't say that. Why? Because you're your baby. She was born to you. And when you got saved, you were born to Jesus, too. He don't want to kick you out. He loves you. He loves you. And so she said, okay. Now,
but Mommy, I didn't mean to.
I wonder how many times you said that to God. Huh?
I didn't mean to, Lord. I'm not going to do it anymore.
And I went sometimes as much as 15 minutes without doing it again. And so she said, Mommy, I won't play in the street anymore. Honest, I won't, Mommy. Honest. Okay, Ryan, you go ahead. But don't you play in the street. Looks out. What happened? Just in the side of the street, because it's rain. There's some puddles there, and she wants to get a little... it does rain around here sometimes, not white rain, but... And she looks out and says, Ryan, hey, come here! I'm sorry. Darling precious, would you retreat once again into the sanctuary of your home? And so she says, now, honey, if you get in that street one more time, I'm going to have to bring you in the house. Now, Mama's ironing, but if you get one more time, I'm going to bring you in the house. I'm going to put you on a stool right beside the ironing board where I can keep my eyes on you. And so she looked out and ran. She forgot again. Hey, honey, get in here. Come on, get in. Sit down beside here. Her mama can keep her eyes on you. And that's what the dear Lord does. God saves you. And you sin. You haven't lost your salvation. God still loves you. You're still his child. And so God says, okay, I'm going to spank you. I'm going to spank you. And God spanks you a little bit. Now, don't get in the street anymore. Bill Wright, don't do it anymore. But you do it. And the Lord says, okay, I'm going to spank you again. He spanks you a little harder. And the Lord says, okay, now, if you don't behave yourself down on earth, I'm going to bring you up to heaven now. I keep my eyes on you. He's ironing. And I keep my eyes on you. Put you down there on a stool beside the ironing board where I keep my eyes on you. And the day comes when the Lord looks down and says, well, I guess I can't trust him on earth. I'll take him on to heaven. They call that the sin unto death. We preachers like to say, you live in sin, God will kill you. Well, it's not quite like that. No, it's if you live in sin, the dear Heavenly Father will say, I guess I better bring him on up to heaven now. I love him. He's my child. I can't trust him. Down on earth, better bring him up to heaven now. That's what happened to you. But you never thought you'd do it again. Now the question is, what did happen? Why did you do it again? What? You never thought you'd curse again in your life, and all of a sudden you did. Never thought you'd take another drink, and all of a sudden you did. You never thought you'd look at a woman, have an evil thought, look at the opposite sex, and all of a sudden you did. You never thought you'd look at a dirty picture, and all of a sudden you did. Now, what happened to you? Same thing happened to Peter. 10th chapter. Jesus said, Peter, rise, kill and eat. He said, not so, Lord. Is that the fellow priest on Pentecost? Saying, not so, Lord. Now, what happened to Peter? First thing that happened to Peter, Peter was still the old man, too. He did not realize he was still the old man, too. And so are you. A new person has entered, but the old one is still there. Did you ever wonder why the same little toothless baby can look at you and say, Mama, our mama, our mama? The toothless baby speak yet? Okay, smile, little toothless smile. And back country. And the same little brat, same little angel, after a while will spit his food out all over your dress. Huh? Well, there are two people living in there. Do you ever wonder why the same little child will say, Mommy, I love you, Daddy. And within 30 minutes, he's holding his breath till it turns purple because he wants his way. Two people live in there. Now, as the Indian said, got a black dog and white dog. Ugh, black dog, ugh, white dog, live in here. Fellow said, if you fight, white dog fight, black dog fight, white dog, all the time. Somebody said, who wins? Said, ugh, when I feed the most, that's who wins. Now, there's a white dog inside you. And what you better realize, and this is why you stumbled into sin, you did not reckon that black dog still there. You were so enraptured with that white dog and that new nature. Oh, I love the Bible. But there's still something there that loves Playboy magazine, too. Boy, I love the songs of God. I love to hear the choir sing, back to Bethel. I must go. But there's somebody that still lives in there, still loves rock music, too. Oh, I love the people of God. I love God. Yeah, still somebody that lives in there, in your house, inside your body, who loves the old crowd, too. You ever wonder why? A teenager can one day clean his room. You'd think the government was going to come by and inspect it, the health department. And the very next day, very same room, very same teenager, leaves for school, looks like Pearl Harbor after his bomb with the Japanese. Ever wonder why? Huh? Two people live there. Two people. New nature, old nature. Do you ever wonder why? The same wife, can be one day as warm as an Alaskan stove, and the next day as cold as igloo wall. Did you ever wonder about that? Two people live in there. You ever wonder why a husband can bring flowers one night to you and bring them inside? It'll go months and months and won't even cut the weeds outside. Two people live in there.
You ever wonder why the same preacher can be like Apollos one Sunday and you think he flunked speech last week the next Sunday? Two people live in there. You ever wonder why the junior boy has horns showing through his halo? Two people live in there. You ever wonder why the junior girl can be a combination of an angelic demon and a demon-possessed cherub? And a heavenly devil all in the same little personality? Two people live in there. Do you ever wonder why she can look at you one night with a wedding gown on and the veil after having heard "Because" and "I love you truly" and talk to you all during a ceremony and look at you and say, "I take you to be my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, in poverty as in wealth, to love and to cherish and obey till death do us part." And the next day she goes home to mama. You ever wonder about that? Two people live in there. You ever wonder why a little boy in the schoolroom, you teachers, can put an apple on your desk one day and a lizard in your desk the next day? Two people in there. Two people. You see, I have some Jacob in me. That's the new nature. But I have some Esau in me too. That's the old nature. I have Naomi in me. That pleasant, sweet, spiritual, godly Christian mother of Bethlehem, Judah. But I also have the other side of Naomi, who was named Mara, that bitter side, who fled down to Moab and left the will of God and left and went into sin. And so do you. And every day you wake up, there's that constant battle. Will I put on the new man or put on the old man? Will I put on a smile or put on a frown? Will I put on kindness or put on unkindness? Will I put on generosity or put on selfishness? Will I put on purity? Will I put on lust? Will I put on courtesy? Will I put on meanness? Will I put on sharing? Will I put on greed? Every single morning you wake up, you have a decision to make, and that is, which man will you put on, and which man will have the preeminence that day, the old man or the new man? Now, Peter said, "Not so, Lord, not so." This is the same fellow preached on Pentecost. Same fellow had 3,000 people saved. And yet, here it is, the subconscious hits him, and the voice said, "Rise, Peter, kill, eat." Peter said, "Not so, Lord." He forgot the old man was still there. You ever wonder why Elijah could pray down fire and a few days later run from Jezebel? Because the old man was there. Elijah was two people. Oh, you say, Elijah, that mighty man of God. He's a mighty man of God and also a weak man of the devil, too, in the same body. Paul said, "I find two natures. I have two natures." He said, "That which I would, I do not, and that which I would not, that I do." He said, "There's a constant warfare going on inside of me. Oh, wretched man that I am," Paul was saying. There's the Paul who's converted, that new man. And there's that wicked Saul of Tarsus that had murder in his heart and revenge in his heart and vengeance in his heart. And Paul said, "There's a constant warfare. My Saul says, do bad. And Paul says, do good. And Saul says, stay home. And Paul says, go to church. And Saul says, read the Playboy. And Paul says, let's read the Bible. And Saul says, go live it up. And Paul says, let's pray. And Saul says, do bad. And Paul says, do right." That's why you fell into sin. You gave Saul preeminence one day. And the reason you gave him preeminence is you did not realize he was still there. Oh, young Christian, you watch it. You're a new creature. Yes, but you still have the old creature. He's still there. You ever wonder why Noah could build an ark and be such a righteous man that God would choose him as the only head of a family in the entire world to be spared from the flood that destroyed the whole earth? And yet that same Noah, so righteous and upright, he walked with God. That same Noah could get drunk. You ever wonder why Moses could have so much faith he could take a rod and smite the Red Sea and walk over on dry ground? So much faith he could smite a rock and get water to feed 2 or 3 million Jews. So much faith he could receive manna every day from heaven for 40 years in answer to his prayer. So much faith he could lead 2 or 3 million Jews for 40 years across the wilderness. And that same Moses, who was the meekest man in all the world, the Bible said, lost his temper and smote the rock twice and said, "Hey, you rebels!" And God said, "You just lost your ticket for a trip to the Holy Land." Do you ever wonder why? Because Moses was two people.
He was a new man and the old man. The same Abraham that could leave the Ur of the Chaldees to look for a city, he knew not where. To arrive, he knew not when. To get there, he knew not how. You ever wonder how a man like Abraham, with that mighty power and mighty faith to follow the faithful, could leave God's plan, go down to Egypt, go into sin, lie about his wife Sarah being his wife, bring an Egyptian bondmaiden back with him, have sex with her, and she gives a baby to him? Why? Two men there, two natures. Old man, new man. Let me tell you something, folks. Reason that many people go into sin is because when they get saved, they do not reckon the fact that same old nature is still there. You still want to cuss. There's something. Listen, the only difference is somebody has come in to live. Let me illustrate. I told you this story part of it the day. I was on an airplane flying to Alaska to preach, sitting beside a fellow who was a professor in the University of Alaska, Fairbanks. So the stewardess came by and said, want something to drink? I said, yes, I'd like some hot tea. I think it was hot tea. Or was it hot toddy? It's hot something. Oh, don't get this out. I think hot tea. Maybe some water. I'm not sure. Anyhow, she said, sir, want something to drink? He said, yeah, bring me a Manhattan. I understand Manhattan is liquor. And so she brought him Manhattan. He was drinking his Manhattan. I was drinking my hot tea. And he asked her, what is your name? He told me. What is yours? My name is Jack Hiles. Are you a preacher? Yes, sir. I've heard of you. He said, I'm born again Christian myself. Said, I have a few bad habits, but I'm still born again. I don't usually do this. Now, what if I hadn't sat there? He'd enjoyed that Manhattan. He didn't enjoy it from then on. Later on in the trip, 2 hours later, stewardess came by and said, gentlemen, would you like something to drink? I said, yeah, I want some more hot tea. He said, I want a man tab. A man tab. Well, what happened? Somebody sat down beside him. And that's what happens when you get saved. Somebody comes and sits down beside you. Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory, comes in here. He lives in here. But, by the way, the old nature's still there. And you better watch it, buddy. It's after you. And you better, every morning when you wake up, make provision for the new man. And put on the new man. What is the new man? Tender-hearted. What is the new man? Kind. What is the new man? Gracious. What is the new man? Honest. What is the new man? Truth. What is the new man? Courteous. What is the new man? Generous. What is the new man? Clean. What is the new man? Faithful. What is the new man? Royal. Put him on. What happened to Peter? Peter was still the old man too. Something else. Second thing, Peter was still Peter. He was the best of men, but he was man at best. He received the new self, but the old self was still there. And when Peter went back home, his mama still recognized him. And his daddy still knew who he was. And he was still called with the same name. And he still had the same weaknesses he had. And the same temptations he had. He was still Peter. And if, Brother Sullivan, you used to own 3 taverns in this area. Used to be a drunkard. Sell liquor, bartender. Now you're saved. But you're still part bartender. And still there. Same fellow that served that beer and served that liquor in these taverns you used to own in this area, running this area. That same fellow still lives inside that body there. Sure does. Mr. Moffitt, that same fellow that lived inside you and you didn't come to church very much. We were talking about the other night. You didn't come to church. He still lives there. Still there. Still there. Young man gets married. Before he gets married, he puts his pants when he goes to bed at night on one bedpost and puts his shirt on another bedpost and puts his
hat on the third bedpost, puts his coat on the fourth bedpost, puts his shoes on the floor, socks over his shoes. That's why God makes four posts on beds. I never have understood why you hang the junk up and you got to put it on again. You're going to be asleep. You'll be unconscious all night. Nobody's going to see it. Nobody got any sense knows that. I know what's going to happen. We got some dormitories in a mess tomorrow morning. You're thinking about that right now, aren't you? One day, he sees somebody that really attracts him. And he asks her if she'll go out with him. And that temptingly yours perfume she put on, bathed in before they went out, carries its scent across the table, and its scent makes him lose his sense. And pretty soon, under the stars, he says, "Wilt thou?" And she wilts. And then the ring, and then the wedding, and then the honeymoon, and then moving into the apartment of the little house. Time to go to bed. Takes off his pants, puts them on one bedpost, shirt on the other, place that God's made for pants and shirts, coat on the other, hat on the other. What happens? Something never happened before. Huh? He hears a still, small voice. "Hey! Ain't the place to put your hat and pants and shirt, coat! What the closet's for, stupid!" What's happened? Somebody new lives there. That somebody new is there to stay, I'm sorry to tell you. Somebody new's there. Now, but the old fella is still there. I don't care if that new person is there for 50 years. When that old fella dies, he's still not going to understand why he can't put his pants on the bedpost. There's no real man in the world likes to hang up clothes. Or should have to. Well, the power of God's in this place tonight. I don't care how long they're married. There's the new person that came in wants the house clean. And the old person couldn't care less. The old man comes in at night. He says to the new person says, "Did you notice anything?" He says, "Oh, and that is one of the meanest things in the world. You'll never stoop so low as to ask that question. Did you notice anything?" He says, "You don't notice? Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Sure. Looks nice. I like it." "Oh, you did notice? Yeah. You like it?" "Yeah, I really like it." "Yeah, I like it. What is it?" "I don't know." She takes in the kitchen. Says, "You notice it in here?" "Yeah. How could I have missed it?" "What is it?" Picks up the phone to call the lawyer. And then she opens the kitchen cabinet and she says, "I put new paper in the kitchen cabinet." She says, "You notice?" By that time, you wanted to call the lawyer. And you say, "I did not even know the kitchen cabinets had paper in them." You know, that constant warfare goes on. New person, old person. Old person wants the bedpost, new person wants the closet. The old person wants to, doesn't care whether there's any paper in the cabinets or not. In fact, the truth is, the old person doesn't even put the food back in the cabinet after he's eaten. Because he plans to eat some more during the night. New person! Now, that's a corny way to put it, but that's exactly what's going on inside your life. Constant warfare. Now, what is the new man? What does he say do? All right, I can tell you. Put on the new man. Put away lying. Be angry and sin not. In other words, when you get mad, don't stay mad and don't do something foolish. Let not the sun go down in your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, the use of edifying, that it minister grace of the hearer. Listen. You leave the service tonight, and you say, I didn't like the sermon. Don't say it. That's the old man talking. Now, the sermon may not be very good, and it may deserve criticism, but it's up to him to do it, and it's not for you to do it. The new man brags. The old man criticizes. The new man compliments. The old man gossips. The new man speaks good. The old man speaks bad. Let me tell you, I don't care who you are. You cannot, as long as you live the kind of Christian life you ought to live. Every day you get up and say, new man, I put you on. I put clean speech on. I put clean thoughts on. I put good speech on. I put good life on. I put purity on. I put kindness on. I put gentleness on. And all you got to do is forget the new man. The old man will take care of himself. Tell you what you do. Let your wife go home and visit mother for a week. I'll bind you one thing. If you're a real man, there won't be a bed made in the house. And I'll bind you one thing. Those bedposts won't be lonesome anymore for your clothes. Why? Because the new nature was not given preeminence. New person was gone. You get up in the morning, you ought to get on your face and say, Oh my God, help me to live in the new man. Feed the new man. Read the Bible to feed the new man. Get on your knees to feed the new man. That's why you go in sin. That's why those three letters come to my door today. That's why I've wept this week with people going into sin. That's why. Why? Because you did not stop to realize Peter's still there. He's still there. Read you again. Listen. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. That's Christ in me. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called into one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and spiritual hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's what the new man has. The new man is holy. The old man is unholy. The new man is beloved. The old man is unloving. The new man is merciful. The old man is merciless. The new man is kind. The old man is unkind. The new man is humble. The old man is proud. The new man is meek. The old man is cocky. The new man is long-suffering. The old man is impatient. The new man is forbearing. The old man is impetuous. The new man has love. The old man has hate. The new man has peace. The old man has war. Every day of your life, you've got to get on your face when you get up in the morning and say, oh my God, I put on the new man. And if you don't put on the new man, the old man will dress you, and you will one day find yourself in sin, stumbling and wallowing in the hogmire and the septic tank and the cesspool of iniquity. Why? Because you did not put on the new man every morning. Why? Peter was still Peter. The third reason. Peter was still subject to the same old sins that he had before. Same old sins. Don't you recall when Jesus came to Peter at the Last Supper? Got his towel, girded himself, was going to wash Peter's feet. Peter said, not so, Lord. Yes. You'll not wash my feet. Dost thou wash my feet?
Now that's back down before Pentecost. Now then, after Pentecost, it preached the great Pentecostal sermon. He was a pillar of the pillars of the church. Now he was the greatest Christian in all the world, probably. He still had the same sin. Don't you recall back yonder, Peter said, Jesus said, our Lord Jesus said, all men will be offended because of me. And Peter said, yet will I never be offended. What were your faults before conversion? You still have them. What were your weaknesses? They're still there. Those little Egyptians that once held you bound inside Egypt, they'll still pursue you once you're on your way to the promised land. They'll chase you until you drown them in the Red Sea. What is your weakness? Before you got saved, was it liquor? Put double protection or double coverage, they call it in football, on that one. What was it? Temper? Still there. Put double coverage on that one. That little sin that will, you think is dead, will rise out of its grave. What was it? Lust? I'll say something, folks. Men, women, before you got saved, guilty of lust, it's still there. It's still there. Peter's still there. Old man is still there. And the same old sins are still there. Folks, listen to me. There are three things. You go. Listen, you get run down physically. You go to the doctor. I don't care who the doctor is. Dr. Streeter. Dennis or Cal. Dr. Geragos. Dr. Shoemaker. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter. Go to the doctor. You run down. He says there are three things you better do. You gotta put the blank word. You got a blank right. Fifth word. You got a blank right. Eat right. And you gotta get some what? Plenty of rest. And you gotta do plenty of exercise. That's it. That's it. If you run down, eat right, exercise right, and rest right. And there is not a person in this room who can be well who doesn't eat right, exercise right, and rest right. None! And there's not a Christian in this room who's going to be right with God very long who does not eat right. Eat it! Eat it! Read it! Memorize it! Love it! Carry it! Use it! Read it! Meditate on it! Eat! That's how you feed the new man. Some of you folks this afternoon fed the old man. Watching some movie on television. You go home tonight. Turn some late show on. Feed the old man. Some of you ladies wonder why you're not a good Christian. Sit there in front of those dirty soap operas in the afternoon. Feed the old man. Wonder why. Read your Cosmopolitan magazines and feed the old nature. Wonder why. Some of you families sit there. Wonder why your children are in sin. And wonder why your family's not turning out right. You sit there night after night after night after night after night. What's a bionic woman? That's all I know, what I know about. Watch those dirty television programs on prime time, most of them not worth watching. What are you doing? You're feeding the old man. Listen, no wonder we go into sin. No wonder our lives are wrecked and ruined. No wonder we stumble and fall. No wonder. If you don't eat right, you won't be healthy spiritually. You got to exercise. Stay busy for God. Get your bus route. Work on it. Go soul winning. Join the foster club. Join the fisherman's club. Go ladies soul winning. Go to men's soul winning on Friday night. Exercise! Do something for God. Stay busy for God. And you got to rest right. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest near to the heart of God. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray in the name of Christ, your Savior? Did you super loving favor as a shield today? Oh, how praying rest the weary prayer can change the night today. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. You've got to rest. You got to spend some time with John, leaning on the bosom of Jesus. You got to spend some time with Mary, worshiping at his feet and breaking the alabaster box of ointment at his feet. You got to spend some time with those in the upper room who sat and listened to him speak. You got to spend some time resting on the road to Emmaus while your heart burns as he speaks to you. You got to spend some time. Be still and know that I am God. And after the whirlwind and after the fire, there was a still, small voice. I don't care who you are. You will stumble unless you take time to rest in the Lord. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You need that. You need it. Watch those times of change. Watch those times. Be careful. You put the new man on especially carefully. Those times of change. When you graduate from high school and a new era begins in your life, watch it carefully. Extra. Spend extra time in the Bible. Extra time on your face with God. Extra time serving God when the change comes. Or when you just start to college. New environment. New schedule. New habits. New friends. Be careful. Take some extra time in the morning to put on the new man. Be careful, extra careful to be kind. Be extra careful to be tender-hearted. Be extra careful to forbear one another. Or when the seasons change. Or when you get engaged, fall in love. Be careful. Be careful. Well, you know what? Somebody will take Jesus' place. Put on the new man carefully then. When you get married. When the new baby comes. When you enter in the middle years. Middle age. Be careful. Put on the new man. Get a new job. Move to a new house. Live in a new area. Be careful. Be careful. Ladies and gentlemen, for 20 years I've stood behind this pulpit, almost 20 years. I do not know how I could have tried any harder to keep you living right. I do not know. I'm sure I failed, and I look at as every time somebody stumbles, I look at it as a personal failure. Happened to Peter, could happen to you. Happened to Elijah, can happen to you. Happened to Moses, can happen to you. Happened to David, can happen to you. Happened to Samson, can happen to you. Happened to Abraham, can happen to you. Why does it happen? What happened to Peter? He forgot he was still, he still had the old man. He forgot he still was Peter. He forgot that the old sins and temptations were still there. It's a funny thing. You ever notice how people go into the same sin over and over and over again? Better watch it. Better watch it. Said Brother Hiles, I'll never do it again. Look out. Look out. That's what Peter said. Don't say I'll never do it again. Get up in the morning and get on your knees and say, oh my God. Oh my God. Help me to make it today. Just today. And then eat the word. Ah, when the Lord God came down to Ezekiel and said, Ezekiel, I want you to minister to those who are in bondage. Said, the first thing I want you to do, take this roll, eat it, eat it, eat it, feed on it. That's what you do. Every morning of your life, read that book 15 minutes. Read it. I can't understand it. Read it in hand. I don't read it. No, don't understand it. Listen. A strainer won't hold water. It'll be a cleaner strainer if water goes through it. If you don't hold one thing that goes into you from in your ears, from this book, or in your eyes, this book, or in your mind, you don't remember one thing. You'll be a better person because you hung around with it for a while. You read this book 15 minutes every morning. Listen to me. Every morning. You pray 15 minutes every morning asking God to give you strength and victory for today. And you sit there for a few minutes. And listen. And wait. Let his presence just be there. And then you get on your knees and say, Dear God, today, help me to put on the new man. And to give him preference. And give him preeminence. You do that every day of your life, and I'll promise you, your name will never be on a note under my door. Never will. Well, you say, I haven't got time to pray. Read the Bible 30 minutes a day. You got time to eat that much. No time to watch television that much. Listen, just take your Andy Griffith time, and I'm not against Andy Griffith. I like Barney Fife better. Just take your Dinah Shore program time. Take your Edge of Night time. Take your All in the Family time. 30 minutes! It'll change your life. It'll change your life. I'm tired. Casualties. I'm tired of dear Brother Hiles. This week my son got drunk. Teenage boy. Tired of that. No need for that, kids. No need for it. No need for it. There's provision right here to keep you from it. I'm tired. Tired of hearing about 15 young people, graduates of Hammer Baptist High School, having a drinking party. No need for that. No need for it. No need for it. I'm tired of hearing of lust, wasted lives, and orphaned children. I'm tired of it. It all starts because you forgot the old nature. Still hanging around. Still hanging around. Did you ever finally get rid of the old man in the morning? You think he's gone to work? You go to the bathroom and clean it up, put new towels, fresh towels there. And you hear a noise in the bathroom. You go out of the bathroom. Who's in there? I say, who are your specs in here? I thought you were gone. Now, if you check the towels, you're going to put your third set of towels up while he's hanging around. Now, don't you think the old man's gone. He'll be there, and he'll be there, and he'll be there. And I'll be glad when the day comes, bless God, when the old man's gone. Man will awaken the likeness of Jesus. Never want to get mad anymore. Never want to lose our temper anymore. Never want to get drunk anymore. I get in the rescue mission van some Monday mornings and I'm tired and weary and I got to trudge to the airport and I've been working hard all day Sunday. And old Jim Cunningham, rescue mission man, spent years on the bottle. I opened the glove compartment and said, Jim, you got any whiskey in here? Just kidding, of course. Nothing ever in there but beer. I'll be glad when you fellows won't worry about that anymore. I'll be glad when the day comes when that part of you that likes rock music, kids, will be gone. Won't be anything that likes rock music anymore. I'll be glad when that thing that likes Playboy magazine's gone. I'll be glad when that thing that likes to blow up, lose its temper, and get revenge is gone. And we shall awaken the likeness of him. And you're going to see me up in heaven and say, look at Ohio. Looks like Jesus, doesn't he? Look at all that hair. It's the old man's losing his hair. The new man you can't see has got a big head of hair. Bless God. Until that day, let's give preeminence daily to the new man. Heavenly Father, bless the truth.